It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
As we continue in our series, Christ and Culture, I ask the question, what is a Christian? How would you answer that question? For me, I thought it would be easier to answer. Pat answers using Christianese don't work in our modern or postmodern culture, especially with prevailing misconceptions, indifference, and animosity toward things Christian. Some might react to my question with hate, fear, or distaste, alleging Christians are the source of judgment, conflict, or harm. Others may respond that it's an irrelevant, if not silly, question. After all, who cares about Christians or Christianity at all? Then there are those affiliated with other faiths, including agnostic and atheist, Buddhist, Hindu, Mormon, Muslim, Sikh, or spiritual person, whatever that means. You'd expect a clear answer from those claiming to be Christians, but their answers can be disappointing as well. You may have read about my conversation with a fine lady of the old school, who was a devout member of a mainline Christian denomination. In attempting to explain that she was a Christian because, one, she never did anyone any harm, two, she went to church regularly, and three, after some delay, added that she knit socks for the ladies' auxiliary. Is that what it means to be a Christian? My position is that Christians are crucial participants in our exploration of Christ and culture. Therefore, it is important that we have a solid answer to this question. What is a Christian? Now, does the Bible provide us an answer? You might find it surprising that the word Christian is found only three times in the Bible. The first occurrence is Acts 11, verse 26. When Barnabas had found Saul of Tarsus, later named Paul, he, quote, brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. End quote. Darrell Bock states that called is probably an intransitive passive expression. We might respond, huh? In simple terms, the Greek grammar indicates that disciples received the name Christians from others. The second occurrence of the word Christian is Acts 26, verse 28. And there Agrippa says to Paul, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? This statement is made by a king sitting in judgment upon the Apostle Paul. The context leaves me with a sense that King Agrippa used the word Christian with some derision or sarcasm. The third use of Christian in the Bible is 1 Peter 4, verse 16. Peter writes, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Writing to Christians, followers of Jesus, experiencing persecution, Peter encourages them to live faithfully for Christ and relevantly within their culture. Commenting on 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 19, the Bible commentator Peter Davids suggests that the title Christian was probably a term of abuse for those they perceived as in some way committed to a person called Christ, either due to their open confession or their lifestyle. So I ask again, what is a Christian? Let me attempt to cut through the cultural misconceptions by giving you a short biblical answer. My answer has three elements, and the first one is this. A Christian has had a conversion. Now, the word conversion is not a popular word in our religious context, yet we use it often in sports and money. For example, in money or currency exchange, we talk about converting Canadian dollars into American dollars. This transaction is an event in which a certain asset, for example, 1,000 Canadian dollars, is changed or converted from one currency to another. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, that person is declaring a change of loyalty. This is an event in which that person is changed or converted from being in Adam and all that means to being in Christ and all that means. Numerous examples of conversion events are recorded for us in the book of Acts. We read about the minister of finance for Ethiopia being converted when he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Saul of Tarsus, later named Paul, and then Cornelius, a Roman army officer. And you can read about these conversion experiences, these changes from being in Adam to in Christ in Acts chapter 8, 9, and 10. For some, like Timothy, who grew up in the faith, there may not be a dramatic conversion experience. Nevertheless, an event of conversion takes place at some point. Jesus talked about this event in terms of a new birth. Like physical birth, this new birth is not the end or goal. It is the beginning of a new and different kind of living. And you can read about the new birth in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Now here's the second element. A Christian's life is characterized by a direct link to the one true God, self-revealed as Jesus Christ. Here are three manifestations of that link. The first one is that a Christian believes certain things about Jesus Christ. One knows about Jesus Christ, and these facts include his incarnation and deity, that is, that God became a human being and his name is Jesus. His crucifixion and death for sin, his physical bodily resurrection on the third day after his death, and his future physical return to the earth. Such elements drawn from the Bible and history ensure that the object of understanding and trust for a follower of Jesus is the real historical Jesus, not some cultish counterfeit. The second link that evidences our relationship to this one true God revealed as Jesus Christ is that a Christian manifests the love of God towards others. John states in 1 John 4, verses 19 to 20, that we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And here's the third link that evidences our relationship to Jesus Christ. A Christian lives life in a manner consistent with Jesus Christ. Again, John writes, by this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he, Jesus Christ, walked. And you can read that in 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 to 6. We ought to walk or live our lives in the same way that Jesus walked or lived his life in his holy humanity. Two things to keep in mind. These characteristics of true Christian life are not the way in which one gets right with God. These are not the cause of new life. They are the results of new life. The other thing to keep in mind is that Christians are not perfect. They are forgiven. In my experience, followers of Jesus are a strange combination of flawed humanity, distorted images of God, and the new life in Christ. Here's another text written by the Apostle John that is so transparent about the imperfect life of Christians. 1 John 1, verses 8 to 10. If we say that we, Christians, have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here's one other important point. A Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Paul is clear on this, Romans 8, verse 9. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Christian theologian Gordon Fee writes, quote, my point is that for Paul, the Spirit alone distinguishes believer from non-believer. God's people have the Spirit and are by that very fact spiritual, that is, spirit people, while others are not, nor can they be spiritual in any meaningful way. For Paul, the senses of that word, precisely because they lack the one criterion for spiritual life, they lack the Spirit of the living God. Having acknowledged some misconceptions about Christians and some characteristics of Christians, let's ask the question again, what is a Christian? Christians are a peculiar kind of human. On one hand, they share with all humanity the reality of being distorted images of God. But on the other hand, they experience something of the new humanity in Christ. A Christian has a new life, but experiences temptation, failure, pain, and eventually death, just like other humans. Christians, with all their sometimes sordid pasts and their flaws of character, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God Himself takes up residence in each genuine Christian. As such, each follower of Jesus is either really or potentially a point where humans can experience the presence of God. You might think I'm going too far. I am. A Christian is or should be a bridge of flesh, bone, blood, and soul between earth and heaven, between culture and God. It is no wonder followers of Jesus, Christians, are crucial participants in our exploration of Christ and culture, and that they experience tension between faithfulness to God and relevance to culture.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.